Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them. For good. I have sent them you, my only son.
Folks, welcome to the Light of Day with your host Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, September 11th, 2010. We're also commemorating the tragic events of 9/11, which actually happened back in 2001. That would have been, 9 years ago. Well, this is the Orion Network. This is show number 25. I've done 24 shows already on Orion. Current dew point in Tucson has dropped way down to 39 degrees in the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert. The dew point was 62 degrees back on September 8th, but it's dropped all the way down to 39 now. So the monsoon-stricken desert here is gradually getting a little drier as the fall gets ready to kick in. We're going to be joined by our first time ever guest, Clayton Douglas, tonight at the beginning of next hour. First time I've ever interviewed Clay. He's one of the most controversial talk show radio hosts in existence. I actually learned a few days by calling him that he was actually a former friend of Bill Cooper's. As some of you may know, was the most dangerous radio host in America. Well, I'm just going to touch briefly on 9/11 before I get into emails and articles and some sound bites. I got 3 sound bites lined up for the first hour here. I just wanted to remind folks out there, even though I've never carried this highly credentialed scientist out of Clemson University by the name of Dr. Judy Wood, it is my firm contention that this single scientist is the one with the answers as to what really happened on 9/11. Her name is Dr. Judy Wood. I've helped get her on to at least 12 or 13 different radio shows. I met her back in August of 2008. I have tons of her interviews archived on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage, so if any of you folks want to check those out. Based upon her research, I am firmly convinced that directed energy weapons were used on 9/11 to turn the World Trade Center complex from steel into fine nano-sized dust particles. And she's the only 9/11 researcher I ever had come across that had exposed the existence of Hurricane Erin parked off the east coast of Manhattan on the morning of 9/11. This hurricane, folks, had been headed practically in a straight line trajectory towards New York City up until, I think it was about 8 o'clock in the morning on 9/11, and then it made a 110-degree turn as as if it had come inbound, done its job, and headed out of town. And Dr. Wood describes how hurricanes act as supersized Tesla coils. And what we actually witnessed, folks, on 9/11 was a demonstration of Tesla-based free energy technology. And hurricanes, which function as supersized Tesla coils, were instrumental in helping bring those that World Trade Center complex down. There is evidence of field effects at least three local airports around Manhattan on the morning of 9/11, and Dr. Woods had an ongoing it's called a QTAM lawsuit. It's been ongoing now for maybe 3 to 4 years, but there is evidence that at least two of the contractors listed in this QTAM lawsuit, they would actually be identified as the defendants in her lawsuit. These two contractors, coincidentally, folks, are manufacturers and developers of directed energy weapons. It's right in the QTAM lawsuit, and these defendants, SAIC and Applied Research Associates, have tried their best. They've tried their damnedest to hold off in these court proceedings. So if you folks just do your research, you'll find out what really happened on 9/11. We don't need the so-called 9/11 truth movement, which has been infiltrated with trolls like Alex Jones and Michael Hersock and, oh my God, Sophia Smallstorm and Anthony Hilder. I'm not saying that all these folks are intentionally putting out disinformation, but they may be ignorant of the facts. Because a lot of folks develop what's called the mindset herd mentality. They just go along with the flow and the rumor mill. And what we really need to do is independently ourselves verify what happened on 9/11. We don't need leaders, so-called leaders like Alex Jones and others, to tell us what happened. Those of us that are smart can think for ourselves. So just do that, folks. I mean, this is what Dr. Wood emphasizes, that's one thing the establishment have done is taking our critical thinking skills away from us. They've taken our thinking away so we can't think for ourselves. But sorry, government, I'm not that dumb. I can figure it out. All right, it's 13 after the hour. Our first break kicks in here at, let me look at the program clock here. First break kicks in about two more minutes. Okay, I did want to also mention that a former UFO researcher, Wendell Stevens, passed away on September 7th. That would have been, 4 days ago. I was notified from my lady researcher friend up in Wisconsin that he had passed away. He had died of a heart attack at his house here on the east side of Tucson, which is where I live. This is a note posted on Facebook by Wendell Stevens' daughter. Things change as they always do under a Mercury retrograde. There is now going to be a memorial service. Please note the following place for those that want to attend and pay their respects to Wendell Stevens. Service will be held at Southern Arizona Memorial Cemetery at Fort Huachuca Military Base in Sierra Vista, Arizona. Honors on, this is September 16th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so if any of you folks are listening and want to attend Wendell's funeral. I've interviewed Wendell, by the way, when I used to do my radio shows about three to four years ago. They're still on my archives page. And I actually met Wendell one time at a McDonald's here in Tucson on the east side, and I still have the audio tape recording of my interview with him. Not that I'm into the UFO stuff anymore, folks, but I just wanted to throw this out because, you know, I had interviewed him in the past, and he does deserve due respects for the, you know, research he's contributed for the human race, even though I'm not really into that stuff anymore. Well, there's the break, folks. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion with Sheldon Day. We're live Saturday night, September 11th. We'll be back with some more very hot news. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion. We're live Saturday night, September 11th, 2010. Well, back to what I was discussing on Wendell Stevens. He actually used to, my memory is so poor, but I think he used to be married to this lady. Her name was Krista Tilton. She's one of the most, she's not very well known to a lot of people that have been into the UFO stuff, but she lives up in Oklahoma, and I actually talked to her for the first time tonight. This is the first time I've talked to her in like 15 years. And this lady claims to have been taken to an underground installation right outside Dulce, New Mexico, back in the late 80s. But then she had later changed her story and thought it was actually the secret Evergreen Air Center base here in Marana, Arizona. Anyway, I had a long chat with her, and I'll be talking to her again tomorrow. Maybe I could get her on my show eventually. But she's one of these people that is firmly convinced that she was taken to an underground facility where extraterrestrials were carrying out some type of bizarre genetic experiments alongside with the military alongside them. This lady isn't very well known. I mean, she's never been a guest on the Coast to Coast AM radio show, and there may be a lot of truth to what she's saying, you know, because she's never been invited onto the Coast to Coast radio show. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on this UFO stuff. I think most of it's a psyops and a scam anyway. Lucas was a guest on Bill Alex's Progressive Technology. I'm not sure which one it is. There's three shows on that network, but it was Bill Alex and Aurora Lights show. They had a pre-recorded interview Thursday, and then it aired this morning on Vortex Network News. And John DiNardo was also interviewed. And by the way, John DiNardo has a show here on Orion Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time if you folks ever want to tune in. He's also on, oh my God, my mind is blanking out. Let's see, Orion, American Voice, and that shortwave station, WWRB, I believe, Worldwide Religious Broadcasting. I'll be a speaker at the Tucson-based Morning Breakfast Club on Saturday, September 25th. I'm primarily going to be focused on the topic of Planet X, but I'll also be talking about 9/11 and what's really happening out in the Gulf of Mexico. Let's see. The old Farmer's Almanac still is was just released, claims that global cooling is to continue. This is what Robert Felix believes, is that we're going into a mini ice age already. That's just a side note. I got this from a lady named Tonda out of Texas on Tuesday, September 7th. She's on my email list. A blast rips through a Mexico oil refinery. Let's see here. Trying to find it. I got so many tabs open on my browser here. Let's see. I got to find it. Here we go. Blast rips through Mexico oil refinery, kills one person. This is dated Tuesday, September 7th. An explosion ripped through a major Mexican refinery Tuesday, September 7th, killing one worker and pushing gas and diesel prices higher on worry state oil monopoly Pemex will have to import more fuel. Pemex, the world's number 7 crude producer and a large fuel importer, said a 32-year-old engineer was killed and two workers were severely burned when a compressor leak at the refinery's gas oil hydrotreater unit triggered an explosion and a fire. I'm not going to read this whole article, folks, but this may be a possible dot connector with what we've seen happen with this so-called natural gas pipeline explosion in San Bruno, California here 2 days ago. I mean, as Planet X gets deeper in, it's going to cause the Earth to shift. We're going to see more water main breaks, more gas line explosions, more oil refinery explosions, train derailments, and on and on. So this may be a dot connector. This may have preceded this event that happened in California 2 days ago. Not sure. But I thought I'd just read that for what it's worth. Six small earthquakes shake parts of Oklahoma. I don't know if I mentioned this last weekend, but For the second time in less than a week, six small earthquakes have been recorded in a single day in central Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Geological Survey said the six quakes last Saturday ranged from preliminary magnitudes of 1.5 to 3.3. On the Planet X scale, those in actuality would be 2.5 to 4.3s. On Wednesday, in the same area, about 30 miles from Oklahoma City, geologists also recorded six quakes that ranged from a preliminary 1.8 to 3.1. Another quake with a preliminary magnitude of 2.7 was recorded Friday about 10 miles east of the Saturday tremblers. No injuries or damage was reported from any of the quakes, but this is a... If you folks recall, there was a swarm of quakes going on northeast of Oklahoma City back earlier this year. I can't remember if it was... Oh, it was March or April, maybe. But these quakes have restarted again now, and you know, these magnitudes might not mean much, but it is very unusual, I do believe, for that part of Oklahoma to see 12 quakes within a one-week period. So I'm going to close out that tab now. Just looking at the recent earthquakes here, we haven't had anything too significant. The last significant one I see is a 4.7 that happened offshore in El Salvador. That would have been, I think, around 3 o'clock this afternoon in my time zone. That was a 4.7. It was 71 kilometers deep. Otherwise, that, I guess that's... Well, there was a 5.1 also in Peru-Ecuador border region. That's pretty much what we have for the most significant quakes lately. Well, I'm going to get on to this this San Bruno Inferno event that occurred here 2 days ago. This is quite a hot story. John DiNardo has his own suspicions as to what happened on Thursday night at about 6 p.m. California time. We're going to be going into a break, so I'm going to have to continue this after the break here, but I'll get it started. This is by John DiNardo. It's entitled, Earth Rumbling Did Cause the San Bruno Inferno. He goes on, my theory posted soon after the explosion seems to be correct. Earth rumblings did break the gas main, causing the San Bruno Inferno. Major earthquakes may be about to erupt soon around San Francisco. That gas main was just yards away from the San Andreas Fault, about a football field to be exact, folks. Please see yesterday's two postings appended below, blah, blah. Then I'm reading an earlier email of his. It says, the first few slides. Well, there's the break, folks. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. We'll continue with this after the break. Stay tuned. What a great night to do a show, folks. I'm sitting here battling with my kids like usual. This is why I never want to do radio shows. Nobody wants to help out. You're listening to Light of Day live Saturday night, September 10th, or September 11th, 2010. Back to the article by John DiNardo. Oh, let's see. I just went to... Here we go. Okay, this was sent... There's actually three emails from John DiNardo that I'm reading here on this page. This is from Thursday at 11:21 p.m. I received it. The first few slides suggest that gas burst from the ground and ignited. Earthquakes and ground rumblings can easily break gas mains, just as they have been breaking water mains all over the country, especially up in the Northeast. People realize that these earth rumblings are rapidly intensifying, so we must unite to alert the people to plan ahead to protect themselves from these proliferating disasters. A massive brown dwarf star is approaching our inner solar system, exerting gravitational and electromagnetic influences upon the core, mantle, and crust of our planet. The closer this brown dwarf star comes to us, the larger and more widespread natural disasters. And then the last email I have here, it says, now look for signs that major quakes might occur in and around San Francisco. And this is what I was warning about on my shows about 3 or 4 years ago. That's posted on my Flash News page. You can find the link there that a seismologist by the name of Lucy Jones attended a former FEMA emergency training workshop in California back in, it was earlier, mid-2001, and they told her that one of the three likeliest disasters to strike the U.S. someday, the third one on the list would be a devastating earthquake near San Francisco. So if you want to go to my Flash News page and scroll down a little ways, you'll find that. Now on to the I guess you would call it the meat of the matter here. I'm going to preface this topic with stating that an asteroid striked the country of Colombia, and the American media buried it. This was posted on Lucas's website, rabbithole2.com, and it was posted by Lucas and Floyd Anderson on September 6th. Such a colossal event, so little media coverage. Around 3:10 p.m. Sunday afternoon, that would have been Sunday, 6 days ago, residents of Colombia were awestruck when the clear sky was cracked open by a massive fireball that exploded upon impact, leaving a 300-foot-wide crater and a lot of rattled nerves. This is not the first time this year that an impact event has been underreported. And then Lucas provides the Colombia TV station reporting on it here. Actually, two different YouTube postings of it on the TV stations down there. Colombian authorities confirmed that a giant fireball that fell from the sky in the Santander department in central Colombia was a meteorite. The Colombian media has been buzzing with eyewitness accounts of the fireball, which caused a massive explosion at 3:15 p.m. local time Sunday. Andina.com reported that Bucaramanga Mayor Fernando Vargas confirmed that the phenomena was a meteorite that left a crater 100 meters in diameter. That's 300 feet, folks. When it crashed into the earth in the San Joaquin Municipality and Santander Department. This article goes on and on. I can't spend too much time reading this stuff. I'm already running out of time. We only got 20 minutes left until the top of the hour. But you folks can go to Lucas's website to look at that. Okay, and then on to the middle of the week. On Wednesday, we had two asteroids come extremely close to passing Earth. I mean, extremely close. The first one was only slated to come within 6/10 of a lunar distance away from us. And then I think about 11 hours later, the second asteroid was only going to come 49,000 miles away from us. Our highest orbiting satellites, folks, are only like 23,000 miles up. So, and this asteroid would have been 49,000 miles. So that's an extremely close call. Now, I do have my own thoughts about what's going on here with these things. I'm going to mention that after I play some sound bites here. I'm going to play one here by Lucas. He was on the Intel Hub radio show with Shepard Ambellus yesterday. This is a little bit over a 3-minute bite, but we're going to listen to what Lucas has to say on this. I'm bringing it up now.
Basically, there was a giant fireball reported in the sky all the way from Mexico up to up through California before the explosion. So I've got the video on the rabbithole2.com, the video where the news is talking about the fireball reported in the sky.
Now this is interesting because we had a couple weeks ago, and you posted on your site, rabbitholetwo.com, we had asteroid strikes Columbia, this giant ball of fire coming through the sky. They thought it might have been a plane at first, you know, but it caused this 300 foot wide crater. I mean, what do you make of all this, Lucas? This is really weird.
There's a lot of debris. Just yesterday, or on the 8th, we got buzzed by two small asteroids, one about 42 feet and the other about 26 feet, I think. But the interesting thing is that this fireball was reported, and like I said, the video was on there. I think that this might have very well been an impact event. That's why nobody can figure out what happened, and there's no plane debris or anything like that. It was probably what happens is these things come down, and a lot of them don't hit the ground. They actually explode and cause an air burst, and that might have been what this was. It might have been an impact event.
Well, there's speculation that there was an air burst back in Tunguska, Russia, like in 1913 when it blew down the Siberian forest for hundreds of miles, like toothpicks, those giant trees they have over there in the Siberian forest. It laid them down like toothpicks. They were claiming that an air burst happened then. I don't know because I wasn't there. But we're also hearing stories of these sonic booms and also other sightings of giant fireballs all over the country.
I think it's just natural cosmic events, personally, that if there's a giant object in space that's in orbit with our sun, it may be, you know, it may have millions of pieces of debris trailing with it. And if you, you look back at the historical text, even the Bible, it says, then the dragon's tail drew a third part of the stars from the sky and threw them to Earth. You know, and so what's, you know, it seems like we're getting bombarded with things. I would think that if they wanted to use technology, they'd be taking out their enemies with it. They wouldn't be hitting remote parts. They wouldn't, be hitting the middle of San Bruno, California.
I mean, if Planet X is real and it is moving in, we've got the asteroid belt up there. There's stories in the Bible, talks about, you know, in the end times, it's going to be raining fire out of the sky, all this stuff. It makes me wonder if anything's pushing these asteroids from the belt, you know, towards us right now.
Yeah, that could very well be the case. If it travels in an orbit that grabs, asteroids through the belt. And they might see, a lot of people call it Planet X, whatever it is, it might not be a planet. I tend to believe it's a brown dwarf star. That's why nobody can see it, because of the temperature is so cold. And it might drag a bunch of debris from the asteroid belt and throw it in our direction.
Okay, folks, and now on to another soundbite. There was a fireball seen from in the skies over Mexico all the way up to Long Beach, California, 11 hours after this so-called natural gas in San Bruno. Well, there's the break interrupting. Well, anyway, you're listening to Light of Day on Orion. We'll be back later, soundbite. Stay tuned, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, Saturday night, September 11th, 2010. Well, anyway, we had covered that an asteroid had struck down in Colombia 6 days ago. And then I was alerted to this. Can't remember if it was Tonda or Lucas himself, but a fireball was seen in the skies over Mexico all the way up to the Long Beach, California. This would have happened 11 hours after the so-called natural gas pipeline explosion in San Bruno. This is a 33-second soundbite of a local TV station reporting on this fireball scene out in the Pacific Ocean off the California coast on Friday morning. So we're going to play that. So here it is.
Did you happen to see the fireball in the sky this morning? A lot of folks apparently did. The Coast Guard and others got reports around 5 o'clock this morning about a big white or green fireball in the sky, and they saw it all the way from Mexico all the way up to Long Beach. The USS Sterrett, in fact, the San Diego based ship, is cruising off San Diego, and the crew saw the fireball fall around 5, as did many of you viewers, of course, who called us here on 10 News. Coast Guard says it was a meteor, and because of the clear skies, we saw it for a long, long way.
Hey, folks, so there's that soundbite. Well, I have one more soundbite I want to play, but I did want to throw in a little commentary here about these fireballs. I did call Lucas up this afternoon, one of the top-notch Planet X researchers out there, just to get clarification on what he means by this fireball event with the San Bruno's event, because the fireball was seen 11 hours later. But he clarified it up by telling me that there was a huge crater in the ground after this gas pipeline exploded, and he's thinking that maybe there was another incoming space rock that exploded that they're not telling us about, because it just, you know, seems coincidental. We have all these fireballs and asteroids and that, and all of a sudden we see a crater in the ground in San Bruno. It's just like there was a crater in the ground left by an asteroid 6 days ago down in Colombia. So if you folks can think that deep and figure that out, maybe you can you might have a sense as to what's going on here. Now, I have my own thoughts about what I think's going on. I suspect that the so-called weaponization of space that's underway is designed to combat these incoming space rocks as they come in, because according to one of John Moore's classified sources, Planet X has a debris field of rocks 250,000 miles on either side of it, and we may be seeing the precursor of this debris field from Planet X at this time, because John DiNardo is quite confident that Planet X is getting ready to pierce the ecliptic table between the main asteroid belt and Jupiter right now. You know, it's something. We've had all these asteroid fireball events going on. Then all of a sudden, 2 days ago on the top of spaceweather.com, they were actually finally reporting that a group of professional and amateur astronomers had put out a report emphasizing this fact that all of a sudden we're getting all these fireballs hitting Jupiter. And I mean, as some of you out there may know, me and John DiNardo think that as Planet X pierces the ecliptic table between the main asteroid belt and Jupiter, that fireballs are going to start crashing into Jupiter. So, well, actually, I have a soundbite from spaceweather.com that had a 4 minute and 27 second soundbite of all these fireball events happening on Jupiter, and I thought I'd play that for you, so we'll bring that up right now on the good old mixer board here.
Fireballs Light Up Jupiter, presented by Science at NASA. September 9, 2010. In a paper published today in the Astrophysical Journal Letters, a group of professional and amateur astronomers announced that Jupiter is getting hit surprisingly often by small asteroids, lighting up the giant planet's atmosphere with frequent fireballs. Jupiter is a big gravitational vacuum cleaner, says co-author and JPL astronomer Glenn Orton. It is clear now that relatively small objects left over from the formation of the solar system 4.5 billion years ago still hit Jupiter quite often. The impacts are bright enough to see through backyard telescopes on Earth. Indeed, amateur astronomers were the first to detect them, recording 2 fireballs in 2010 alone, one on June 3rd and another on August 20th. Professional astronomers at NASA and elsewhere have followed up on the amateur observations, hoping to learn more about the impacting bodies. According to today's letter, the June 3rd fireball was caused by an object some 10 meters in diameter. When it hit Jupiter, the impact released about 1,000 million million joules of energy. For comparison, that's 5 to 10 times less energy than the Tunguska event of 1908, when a meteoroid exploded in Earth's atmosphere and leveled millions of trees in a remote area of Russia. Scientists continue to analyze the August 20th fireball, but think it was comparable in scale to the June 3rd event. Before amateurs spotted these fireballs, scientists were unaware collisions so small could be observed. The first hint of their easy visibility came in July 2009, when Anthony Wesley, an amateur astronomer from Australia, discovered a dark spot on Jupiter. It was clearly the swirling debris of an impact event that he had only just missed. Next time, however, his luck would improve. On June 3rd, he caught a fireball in action. I was watching real-time video from my telescope when I saw a 2.5-second-long flash of light near the edge of Jupiter's disk, says Wesley. It was clear to me straight away it had to be an impact event. Another amateur astronomer, Christopher Go of the Philippines, confirmed that the flash also appeared in his recordings. Professional astronomers, alerted by email, quickly looked for signs of the impact in images from larger telescopes, including NASA's Hubble Space Telescope, the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope in Chile, and Gemini Observatory telescopes in Hawaii and South America. Scientists saw no thermal disruptions or typical chemical signatures of debris, which allowed them to put a limit on the size of the object. The second fireball on August 20th was first detected by Japanese astronomer Masayuki Takakawa of Kumamoto City and quickly confirmed by another Japanese astronomer, Aoki Kazu of Tokyo. This one lasted for about 1.5 seconds, and like the June 3rd fireball, left no debris observable by large telescopes. It is interesting to note that while Earth gets smacked by a 10-meter class object about every 10 years on average, it looks as though Jupiter gets hit with the same-sized object as often as a few times each month, comments Don Yeomans, manager of the Near Earth Object Program Office at JPL, who is not directly involved in the study. Learning how often Jupiter is hit can tell astronomers something about the meteoroid population throughout the solar system, a matter of considerable interest right here on Earth. Just yesterday, on September 8th, a 10-meter class asteroid named 2010 RF-12 flew past our planet without hitting. A somewhat smaller space rock, 2008 TC3, did hit and burned up in the atmosphere above Sudan 2 years ago. The Jupiter impact rate is still being refined, adds Yeomans, and studies like this one help us do just that. To learn more about the original research, read First Earth-Based Detection of a Super Bolide on Jupiter by R. Hueso et al. In the APJ Letters, 2010, Volume 721, page 129.
Okay, folks, of course that's going to be loaded with some disinformation for the masses out there because they don't want you to really know that Planet X is inbound at this time. But like I said, you know, all of a sudden the top of spaceweather.com is reporting on these fireballs hitting Jupiter 2 days ago, and we're having all these other fireball and asteroid activities underway here. I did want to finish my commentary about this, how I suspect what the intention of the weaponization of space is for. As you folks may know, back on around April 20th, they launched this unmanned space shuttle up into space, and one of the viewpoints as to its purpose was testing out weapon systems. What I suspect is the weapon of space is going to entail the usage of directed energy weapons and other type of airborne platforms to blast these incoming space rocks out of the air before they hit us. I don't think the weapons are being used to fight off an extraterrestrial threat. I think they're going to try to blast some of these space rocks out of the air before they hit us. I mean, they have the technology already. They showed us on 9/11 that they have the technology to turn our planet into another asteroid belt. They turn the world. The boys with the toys and the black ops used directed energy weapons to turn the World Trade Center towers from steel into nano-sized dust particles. Well, there's the end of hour one. You're listening to Live Day with Sheldon Day. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Stay tuned, folks.